Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Max Garcia, ACL, out for the year.
Really? We've got guys in that room that's capable. You know, I thought leaving camp that we had the best line we've had here in a while as far as depth, and as far as guys who can play guard, center, and tackle. So, again, it happens as football. You know, we've got Billy Turner playing the left guard, along with Eli playing the right guard, with Mac playing the center, so I'm comfortable. You know, so let's go play.
Okay. Yeah, it was a little tense out there. It's just a bummer, man. You know, of all the things that are going wrong for you. And there's not a lot of depth. So, okay, Billy Turner will play left guard, right? And Connor McGovern will play center. And Elijah Wilkinson will play right guard. So you got two guys that are more comfortable playing tackle than guard, but they're going to do the best they can. Valdir out at right tackle and Bowles at left tackle. The Broncos have been, Al, it's been a crazy merry-go-round of different players that have started on this offensive line this year. I mean, it's been kind of ridiculous. Let me ask you that. Without stability in your starting offensive line, when it's a different lineup literally every week, and it's been crazy. It's been different weeks, 1 through 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times out of 9 games, it's been something different. Tell me about working together, cohesion, chemistry, that sort of stuff, when it's just a new guy every single time.
Well, what happens is that you have to communicate more when you are dealing with guys that are inserted into the position of a starting offensive line. And the communication is not a problem, D-Mac, but what is when you start to say double, 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 or you start to say slam, or say cutoff, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, you start to tell the defensive lineman what you're doing. Because you have to communicate it so much, the defensive linemen start to hear your calls, and they can almost get a jump on you when you are attempting to make the blocks. So the blocks aren't as concrete.
I'm listening to Stink, and Stink's so great because, well, first of all, he's just great, period. And then because he's doing these games for Fox, he gets to talk to a lot of the coaches. And he was talking this morning how he was talking to the Chargers defensive coordinator, and they admitted we play cover one and cover three, and that's about it. And that they have 8 men in the box all the time. Now, Mark this morning was advocating, listen, I don't care if they come with 8 guys in the box, you still got to run the ball. Like, don't make that an excuse. But let me ask you this. When you know you're going to feel pressure like that, when you know you're going to face an 8-man box for 60 minutes as an offensive lineman, does that make things a little bit more difficult if there's guys that are playing positions they're not that familiar with because there's more pressure on them?
No, but it just means that when you are when you're dealing with an 8-man box, so on the defensive line, when you see a tight end and a tackle, or a tackle and a guard, or a guard in the center start a double team block, if there are 7 guys in the box, right, you can start that movement on the initial guy. You can put 2 guys on him hard and just run him back 2 or 3 yards, and then 1 guy peels off, and he becomes the guy that the second guy blocks. That way, you get your hole. In an 8-man box, it's more like a smash. You hit them hard to try to get control, and then immediately you get off of that guy to go make sure that the block is executed. Does that make sense?
VJ talks about how these
adjustments. As far as the scheme? No. We're going to play. You know, those guys obviously practice all week. We have a game plan. It's professional football, and we're going to do what we do to win.
Okay.
But let me finish explaining this, okay? If there are even numbers, say that you have say the defense has six guys in an area and the offense have six guys to block. You can hang on to your blocks a longer time and then get to the second level. If there are seven guys there, then you have to exit that double team quickly, which means that at the initial point of attack, you won't get that real push like you would if you could hang on to that double team for as long as you could if there were even numbers, which means that if there are zero to negative plays, that could be a discouragement to an offensive coordinator who's not used to letting the offensive line, you know, fill out their guys so they can get the kind of leverage that they need.
It's a problem, obviously.
What do you mean? Playing in an eight-man box? We're playing an eight-man box.
Just this whole situation, communication-wise.
Oh, no, it's not going to be an issue. I don't think so.
Just like I should take the Packers last night, right?
You know what, man? As far as I'm concerned, that game last night should have been won by the Packers. It should have been won by the Packers, but because of some goofy calls and because Mike McCarthy did not challenge that long reception, it left some things to be desired. I mean, they're yeah.
I'm telling you, convinced we don't have a shot against the Chargers at all.
Well, I'll tell you,
I mean, like zero shot.
If they're going to average 7 yards on first down like they have been, then it's going to be impossible for us. We have to, you know, the matchup. I'm telling you, there's one matchup that can change this game because we're going to be eight in the box as well. You know, we're going to play eight in the box as well. So whatever thing that you're thinking that they do, we do the exact same things, except when we try to do the impossible, which is play even numbers against the Jets and even numbers against the Rams. And when we did, that's what happens. Guys run for a couple hundred yards, sometimes 300 yards.
We'll talk to Cecil. He was there in the locker room. How are the spirits? How's everybody dealing? Troy Rank. Sorry, Troy. Don't mean to insult you. Troy Rank will join us next. What is the feeling, the emotions, what changes are going to be made, and how did Tom McMahon handle the Marquette King situation? All that next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Here's Big Alan D-Mac.
It was really weird. I watched practice from the last play back to the first play, and he didn't miss a down. So the play he was injured on, I saw it. It was kind of a slip, and you know, it was no big deal. He finished practice. So, again, things happen. You know, I've seen guys finish games with those kind of injuries, so I'm not surprised that it was an injury. Again, you know, we have to move on and get ready to play a game.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, is presented by the Trenny Law Offices. Have you or someone you know been arrested for a DUI? Oh, boy. Contact the Trenny Law Offices at 303-333-1816 for help. Troy Rank. Wow. That kind of came from out of nowhere. What was the feeling in the locker room based on Max Garcia going down?
Well, you know, if it were viewed in a vacuum, you'd say, okay, this happens. But now you've lost three starters, D-Mac, Ron Leary to an Achilles, Garcia to the torn ACL, and Matt Paradis to a broken leg, all in the matter of weeks. And Garcia was playing because of Leary. So now, essentially, you have Connor McGovern at center surrounded by four tackles. I mean, it's just a weird lineup. Because you have Bowles at tackle. You're going to have Elijah Wilkinson at a guard who's played a lot of tackle. And then you're going to have Billy Turner at guard who's played a lot of tackle. And then Valdir. So we'll see. You know, again, it was enough just for Connor McGovern to replace Matt Paradis. But now with Garcia out, the challenge is real.
It feels like they should be more athletic if you're saying they're going to have four tackles in the game. Those are four guys that are used to being in space, Troy.
Yeah, I mean, from an athletic standpoint, it's interesting. And, you know, Billy Turner, I know that's the guy you like, Al. His athleticism, sometimes his versatility works against him because he can play guard and he can play tackle. So it's not like, you know, he can't do it. It's just to try to do it against a team that's won six straight games, that's allowed 11 points a game over their last five. I mean, preferably you'd like to be doing it against the Raiders or Browns, not against the Chargers at their place when they're hot, but they are going to be athletic. It's just, can they put it all together this week? In a, you know, especially with Garcia go down on a Thursday, so not a lot of time for this unit to practice together.
I think people were looking forward to hearing Tom McMahon expound on how they were responsible for Marquette King being hurt, but he didn't take the bait today, did he?
No, again, why would he? I mean, nothing against King, but he's gone. I mean, he was barely remembered here. He was here in a blink, and now he's gone. I mean, I don't think, frankly, anyone cares because he didn't make a mark here. It'd be different if he was here for a season and a half. He was here for
There's no Broncos teammates or something sort of sticking up for him or, you know, feeling like they've been wronged by the coaches or they don't trust the coaches because of this. Is that right?
That's not my understanding. That no one has said that to me.
Nobody cares. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's, I mean, and I hate to say it this way, but it's going to sound dismissive. He's the punter. I mean, it's not like a guy who's in charge, you know, he's in charge of all the linemen, offensive defense. He's a punter. Whether he was asked to change his routine or not, the bottom line is he didn't perform, then he got hurt.
I'm bringing it up because Demaryius had critical words about the coaching staff, and then Marquette King did, so I guess it doesn't.
In Demaryius's case, I mean, he's been here forever. He certainly has the right to voice his opinion on this. I still think, you know, Demaryius was being a little naive as to how that all went down when his production has declined for five straight seasons. He's battled through injuries. He's had trouble practicing. I mean, he's kind of going through the Carmelo stage of his career where they think they're a number one, and they're not. And I like Demaryius. I'm just saying, when you see a star player fade, there's always going to be friction because they never, ever relent on who they think they are. And I love that about them. But the reality is their roles change, not in their mind, but for the team. But, yeah, nobody – I don't see it as systematic. Now, if we see another position player, D-Mac, that might be different. But King, for me, definitely exists in a vacuum.
I want to ask you about this team and its prospects of winning in Los Angeles. It seems to me that the Chargers have the guy that they want at quarterback, and they've had him for a while now. He's a Hall of Fame guy. What does Case Keenum have to do to get to the level of competitiveness of Phillip Rivers?
Well, they got to run play action now. They got to run, and they got to beat. And then when they get into the red zone, Keenum's got to make plays. He did some of that. I believe he played his best game against Houston, and namely because Jeff Heuerman caught 10 passes after catching 9 in the previous two seasons. So if they can run between the 20s to allow Keenum to become less predictable inside the red zone. So you're asking, what does he have to do? That's it. He's got to be efficient and make a couple plays, whether that's in the red zone or the target zone from the 30-yard line out, and he can't miss when they show up. I mean, you guys know this. They have no margin for error right now. So if a guy is open and there's a play to be made downfield, Case has got to make it because typically they don't come back around to them, or if it does, it doesn't matter at that point. So, you know, in Rivers' case, he's using his mind more, and he's playing out of his mind. He's not forcing the ball like he did in years past. He is kind of transitioning like Peyton Manning did that last year and a half with the Broncos, where he's trusting his running game more. And it's made him a much more efficient passer because every game he used to give 2 or 3 chances to the DBs. You're not seeing that this year from Rivers. He's not taking nearly as many chances.
Well, I don't know. Go ahead, Al. I don't know what's going on.
Troy, what's the word about the University of Colorado and the report that you had that said that there may be changes at the university?
Yeah, they're prepared to make a change and move on from Coach McIntyre. That was my report on Monday night. It's been a disappointing season. You start with 5 wins, you lose 5 straight, including surrendering a 28-point lead at home to Oregon State. You lose to Arizona on the road in a winnable game, and then you come back home and can't compete against Washington State and get smothered in the second half. I mean, that's not what they had in mind, Al, when they raised $100 million for a facility and gave them much better resources than they've had in the past. To be a 5-6 win team. That's not the goal. They feel, right or wrong, fair or not, that they should be a team that should be more in the 8-9 win range, contending for a conference title. And to be in this situation again, like they've basically been other than one season under McIntyre, has been very disappointing.
Well, Troy, I want to ask you this. Has it been tough for a CU alum to report this story? Because nobody wants to hear when the head coach is in danger of being released from a contract. What's this been like for you personally?
You know, again, You know, I went to see you, and I love my time there. I was fortunate enough to be there when you were there.
I know that.
Championship football. These stories for me, this is just business. I mean, it's just okay. I've been around it for 20 years. I just don't report it on a daily basis because I'm busy with Rockies and Broncos. But I've lived in Northern Colorado now for the better part of, 25 years? So I'm around it a lot more than I think people realize. I want to see the university do well. I mean, I'm an alum. And they just, the last year and a half, nearly these last two seasons, they just have not been able to gain traction. And that's been, given the facilities and given the resources they have available, Alfred, I believe they should have a chance to move forward and be a little more consistent in terms of competing. But again, I'm not around it every day. I'm just saying you've been out through that Champion Center. That is the equivalent of when you got Dal Ward. Like, they just a game changer. So for me, they shouldn't be worrying about beating Oregon State at home. They shouldn't be that team anymore.
Right.
What's your prediction for Sunday?
I think they're going to compete. We've said this. I don't see how they win. I think they lose like they've lost a lot of games. One or two plays, you look back and go, oh, man. And this latest injury in the line, DMAC, I just typically, if you think it's going to be a close game, you take the healthier team. So I think they lose somewhere along the lines of 27-20. 27-21, that kind of game.
Okay, thank you, Troy Rank. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
That'd be tough for me, man. That'd be tough for me to report that story knowing how good McIntyre has been with the Colorado
base. Why would it be tough for you?
I don't know, because I like McIntyre.
Yeah,
I like
McIntyre. You'd be a TV reporter. You'd be a journalist.
Right. But Troy is right about one thing. They spent a lot of money on that facility, and they have to have a quality football team to make that payment and make sure that things stay on schedule. So I get it. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, either you're a journalist or you're not.
Right. But he's an alum, he loves the University of Colorado,
you're talking to DMAC, you're talking to Alfred, you're talking to Troy Rank, two people that have skin in the game when it comes to see you.
Right, man.
Now,
I mean, so many
you're
great
working
days.
In Syracuse, and you're starting to report on whoever their football
I'd
coach
have no
is,
problems with it.
Or Jim Boeheim.
Oh, wow.
Zero.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. None. Zero.
You wouldn't have any problem, I mean, if you were living in the Syracuse area,
I don't
saying
work for
something
the university.
Negative about Jim Boeheim?
It's not negative. It's the truth. It's a story. It's not saying...
Oh, I don't believe it.
Wait, hold on.
I have a hard time being very critical about the Broncos.
The story wasn't... Coach McIntyre is a bad guy and it does bad things. The story was they're going to replace him.
That's true.
So the story was not personal whatsoever. So why would anybody have a hard time if they're a professional reporter reporting things that come to light as they do their job? I think sometimes people get confused. Sometimes the best thing for an entire organization is change. And the organization itself is better than the individuals. It's better
and
bigger.
No doubt about that. It's always about, the team rather than the individual.
Do you know how many owners the Broncos have had?
What is it, four?
Yeah. Pat Bowlen has not been the only owner of the team.
I get it. You say that to say what?
Change happens, and there's nobody that's bigger than one thing, unless they literally are the thing.
Right. The only thing that matters in sports is winning. It really does. I mean, I know we talk about all these different principles, but in the end, we as Americans, we love winners. What can I say?
Yeah, so I don't think I think you'd be able to report on it fine if that was your job. Now, here's where people get confused. In this capacity right here, sometimes we report on things, but other times we just offer our opinion. So there's probably things that you know about or that I know about or whatever that go unsaid. But
that right, buddy.
Now you have to let your conscience be your guide. But we're talk show hosts. It's based on, the whole show's based on us having fun, having an opinion, not necessarily reporting the news.
That's true.
Now,
and we just react, we don't break news, we report it.
Sometimes it comes to us and, you can't avoid it. But I mean,
I'd prefer not to.
And, that's your choice.
That's right.
So the only reason we would get in trouble and I think betray our listeners is if we were obviously offering our opinion based on our own something that would benefit us personally, or we were doing favors for friends.
Mm, that's true.
And that's a much stickier wicket for you to deal with than me. I mean, come on.
You have more friends than I do.
I barely have any friends. All right, we'll take a quick break. In terms of the, yeah.
I'm not going to argue with that one.
Nobody was arguing. There was dead silence when I made that statement. Nobody, no, now we have bells ringing. Okay, great. It's all right. We come back. The coaching carousel. There is speculation about who might replace Mike McCarthy, and it is not John Harbaugh.
Oh, can't wait for this.
This would be a dream come true scenario for the Broncos. I'll tell you what it is next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Big Al and Dean.
When I said I don't think I have many friends, I didn't think people would start comparing me to Lord Joffrey.
Joffrey.
I don't think I'm that bad. That guy was a jerk. Oh, by the way, somebody threw out there, because I was talking about my concept of non-consequential plays. Not inconsequential plays. That means it doesn't mean anything. Non-consequential to me means it didn't have anything to do with the play itself. What about a non-consequential penalty is running off the field, and you're clearly running off the field.
Oh, and they snap the ball.
They snap the ball.
Well, that's done to make sure that you don't substitute. So that is a real penalty.
But it's a non-consequential penalty.
It forces the defense to stay on. That's a legitimate penalty. You have to stay in that defense.
Yeah, I'm talking about you're clearly running off the field.
It doesn't matter.
You're not involved with the play.
We don't want you to substitute. That's why the penalty is necessary. You have to play with that group of guys that's on the field.
I would say that one would count, too.
Because it's got
nothing to do with nothing. But that's, it's a good point.
Pie
that's a good
in the
fun.
Sky, D-Mac. Pie in the sky. Let's get real.
That's how we landed on the moon, Al.
Let's get real.
We had a dream, Alfred.
Let's get real.
All right. A report out there about Mike McCarthy, and a lot of people have him doomed in Green Bay as they have John Harbaugh doomed. Well, and you said, hey, man, the slam dunk job for
anybody
for Harbaugh would be Green Bay. The rumor is the hot candidate,
John Gruden,
for Green Bay, if Mike McCarthy is gone, is Josh McDaniels. Now, how great would that be? How amazing would that
not,
be?
I would not do that deal.
If you were who?
If I was Green Bay, neither would I.
But what if that were to happen? That would be so great for the Broncos on so many levels. We know what a disaster Hurricane Josh is as a head coach. Not that we care about the Packers, but it certainly would weaken the Patriots. And then it would give us two great, theoretically, coaching candidates to take over with John Harbaugh and McCarthy.
I'm going to give you a name.
Boy, well, I love that.
I'm going to give you a name that would actually make Aaron Rodgers the best quarterback he could be.
I really don't care, but go ahead.
Mike Shanahan.
Okay, great. I hope Shanny gets that job.
You
That'd
said
be
anything
wonderful.
To get John Harbaugh here.
I take John Harbaugh or McCarthy. They both check
McCarthy
the
here?
Boxes. Sure. I think he's a great coach. And maybe he's just worn out his welcome in Green Bay.
What makes him a great coach?
I don't know. I've been around him for a couple Super Bowls. I've just followed him. I think he's a great guy and a great coach. I just like his style. He's coached through championships. I think he's got plenty of energy. I think they have a ton of injuries, and things just aren't going their way. But I think that guy can coach. I like John Harbaugh a lot, too.
His offense stinks right now.
Who, Mike McCarthy?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're having a hard time. John Fox won, like, one game as the coach of the Carolina Panthers because Jerry Richardson was bombing out the whole team.
He didn't have the greatest quarterback in the game either.
The greatest quarterback in Aaron Rodgers is hurt. Now, he played pretty good last night, but the dude's been dealing with a knee injury the entire year.
He has a career record of 134-82 with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, well, how did he lose last night then?
Because on third down and two, they didn't make it. He should have went for it on fourth down.
Okay, why do they have a losing record with Aaron Rodgers?
Because of whatever thing that is going on with him is just not working.
Yeah, it's just not working. Doesn't mean he's a bad coach.
Means he's
and Aaron Rodgers is having a tough time.
I don't know
he's
how
hurt.
He can be much better.
Mike McCarthy?
Yeah, I don't know how he could be better without Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I'm not saying he would be, but I'm just saying I'd take either one of them. The fact that Josh McDaniels is rumored to be in the head coaching world again, that is awesome. I mean, that is awesome on just so many levels. The best is if Josh went to somebody that the Broncos really have to be concerned about. But the more coaching options the Broncos have, the better off we will be in the future. Now, I, of course, feel bad a little bit for VJ because this is dead man walking time. And certainly the situation with the offensive line doesn't help out.
Got to get a win.
Yeah, he's got to get a win.
Got to win some games in the AFC West.
There ain't no doubt about it. I mean, it's close to being done. And if Monday we're just talking about the Broncos being 3-7, it'll certainly be over. I mean, it's you got to win. You got to beat the Chargers. I don't know if you have to beat the Steelers. It'd be nice. But you got to prove you can win tough games on the road. You got to do it. And so far, that has not happened. Okay, your reactions. We've got the fire up. That should be interesting. I was going
into
this.
Got to get the win, baby. Got to get the dub.
Okay. We'll get to all of it coming up on the drive.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Our man, Johnny Love. Johnny Love is Johnny Love. Johnny Love has lots of love. Johnny Love is the love, yeah. What's up, baby? Oh, yeah. Oh, look at that sky right now. Look at that sunset right now. Look at it. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, make a postcard. Snap. Mi ritmo bueno como está. Mulata. Oye, como va. Come on, everybody. Mi ritmo bueno como está. Mulata. What's happening? Cody, you're on the fan. Hi, Cody.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's happening?
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I want to point something out about these non-consequential penalties.
Yes. Yeah, I love you using the lingo. Love it.
Well,
don't encourage him.
The ones on defense is kind of a moot point, but it's a dead ball foul because the offense already has the opportunity to decline those penalties anyway.
It mostly happens on special teams. That's. I mean, it could happen on other penalties, but what we're seeing in the NFL is just this absurd amount of flags called on special teams plays. And if you look at them, there are so many fouls that are just because guys are going nuts on special teams. They're just trying to do something out there, and it's ruining a really exciting part of the game. So if you have a kickoff return or a pick six, it could be a defensive play, but let's just say a kickoff return. How many times have we seen exciting punt or kickoff returns for touchdowns or long runs back, and the penalty is just too severe? And then you go and look at the penalty, and you're like, well, first of all, should it have even been a penalty? And if it is a penalty, if it's got nothing to do with the play, just zero, why be so harsh with the penalty itself? My idea is you come up with a new rule called a non-consequential penalty. And that is 5 yards from wherever the play finishes. So if it's a touchdown, you back the ball out to the 5-yard line. If he's tackled at the 15, now it's at the 20. Either way, you have the essence of the play with a slight penalty just to make it more exciting so that you encourage bigger and more exciting plays. I think it's a dynamite concept, and I don't know really what could ever be considered wrong with it.
No, I hear you. I'm pulling the same page.
And by the way, just if people are tuning in for the first time, my idea with this concept is you are allowed to use replay to judge if it's a consequential penalty or non-consequential penalty. So you can use replay. And I do agree with Al that I think replay should be allowed to be used on more penalty calls in general. So I think all those things would be beneficial to keeping the game moving and exciting. Too many times something exciting happens and it's, oh, there's a flag. There's just too many. I'll give you what there is, too. There's too many referees on the field during football games. Too many. And they're feeling like, I got to do something. You know, there's how many referees are on a NFL football field at the same time? 8? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Right? So if you go an entire game.
9?
So if you go an entire game without throwing your flag, you're going to feel like you're not doing anything.
Not true.
That's what it feels like, Al.
No.
I mean, what is the average? Big Sexy and Kyle, maybe you can look it up. What is the average amount of penalties called in an NFL game? Total penalties, not just on one team, but total penalties.
I bet it's more like eight. I bet it's, you mean for both teams? Maybe
both teams.
12.
Hold on, I can look this up here. So the, okay, the Broncos have 64 penalties this year, and the Chargers have 63. That was my math. So we got 9 games, 64. So we got, oh my God.
What'd you say? How many
stupid
did, how many does?
So we have 7 penalties a game roughly for the Broncos and the Chargers.
So 14?
So 14 a game. That's too many. That is just way too many. 14 penalties a game? Come on, man. That's ridiculous.
The Broncos have had 73 total flags called against them, or thrown against them, and 64 against.
Yeah, so it's about, you got about 14 or so penalties a game in an NFL game. Probably between 11 to 14 penalties a game. Too much. 14's way too much. You know what would be nice? Like 10 penalties a game, maybe.
The Broncos have hit 10 penalties twice this year. 13 in week 3 against Baltimore, 10 in week 8 against Kansas City.
2 losses.
So we're slowing down the game too much already. How about when something exciting happens and Dominic Pecco stupidly gets in the way or pushes a guy, or maybe it shouldn't have even been called. But at the worst, it's a play that had nothing to do with Chris Harris's touchdown. It's non-consequential. Balls move back to the 5-yard line, first down.
Don't forget, D-Mac, you're only talking about penalties against that team. The Broncos have had 64 against them, 63 against the opponents. So in their games, they've had 127 penalties thrown.
Yeah, it's 14 penalties a game.
Hey, ish. Here's something that's just breaking.
Boring.
Breaking on NFL.com. I love these stories that break right in front of me. It's outside snowing in Detroit, and the Lions are practicing outside.
Do they have an inside practice option?
D-Mac, they play in a dome.
No, but do they have a practice facility?
Of course they do.
With inside facilities?
Yes.
And they're practicing outside?
Matt Patricia.
Maybe they talked to Major Applewhite, and they're trying to toughen themselves up. Stupid. Stupidest thing ever.
What are you doing, Matt Patricia?
How about when the Broncos...
Oh, they got to fire him. They got to fire... You know, the players are going nuts right now.
How about when the Broncos, preparing for the Super Bowl, the Jets facilities opened all the doors so the indoor facility would be cold.
It's cold.
And then the game turned out to be 50 degrees.
When it's cold, it's tough.
How stupid was that, by the way? Meanwhile, we go over to the Seahawks, and the Broncos are doing media 3 days on a porn boat from the 70s that's lilting slightly left and right.
It's cold.
And the Seahawks are practicing in the warmth. They're in ballrooms at a hotel where, I don't know, all the Super Bowl pressers are held forever.
Oh, my goodness.
The Broncos are on a freaking boat with the doors open. Stupid. Cannot believe how it's just dumb. I'll never forget that.
This dude stopped the reporters today and says, there's no more discussion, no more conversation about it. I'd like to move on and show a little respect for the Carolina Panthers.
Huh?
Yeah. When asked about practicing outdoors.
Outdoors, even though you're playing inside.
Oh, he's losing it.
You got to toughen them up. It's the dumbest thing of all time. Paul, you're on the fan. Hi, Paul.
Detroit, Michigan.
Hi, how are you?
Super.
What's up, man? What's up?
You know who should practice in the cold? Like sled dog drivers. Like Susan.
They have a dome and they're playing the Carolina Panthers.
Like Susan Butcher should practice out in the cold. She runs the Iditarod with dogs outside.
Hey, man, this is the greatest. This is comical, man. This is
that
comical,
is, that
man.
That is ridiculous.
I mean, this is really comical.
To think that being cold makes you tougher is about as dumb as you can get.
You're losing the team.
Hi, Paul. What's up?
He must wants to go back to the Patriots.
My topic is kind of on topic. Speaking of this cold. So I understand the concept that that kid on the sideline that's really good.
Ed Oliver, Houston.
Yes.
Was told to take a jacket off.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So you don't think that he overreacted?
Yeah, he did overreact.
Who
yeah.
overreacted?
Ed Oliver. Yeah, he definitely overreacted.
Oh, listen, man.
An adult coach.
No, he overreacted.
Say that again.
that a 19-year-old kid should be yelling at an adult.
No, he definitely should not. He overreacted.
Oh, you know what, man? You know, what Ed Oliver should have did is just say, I'm not playing football for the University of Houston this year. That's what he should have did. I mean, we've had this conversation. We had the conversation about Kristen. We had Kristen McCaffrey. We had the same conversation about Jadeveon Clowney. We had the same conversation. We should be having these conversations about guys that are sure top 10 picks. Don't play your junior year. Just get. You know what? We have a guy at the University of Colorado.
It's gotten,
All he's doing is helping out this coach who makes millions of dollars.
But you shouldn't be disrespectful and yell and scream like a lunatic at a coach, even if he's asking you to do something that's as trivial as taking a jacket off.
Shouldn't have played.
Yeah. Al, did Ed Oliver react improperly?
What did he say?
He yelled and screamed at the coach. What did
Major Applewhite say? Nobody knows.
This is just an easy one for you to say, yeah, he overreacted.
He overreacted, but what did Major Applewhite say to him?
Take the jacket off.
You think it was just that simple?
Yeah. Yeah, hey, take the jacket off.
Hey, Ed, take the jacket off.
He flipped at the jacket. He's flipped his hand at the jacket like, hey, take it off. Because I wish I had some lip readers
out there. Must have said something because the reaction was.
There's no reason ever to scream and holler and threaten a coach or a player.
Threaten?
Did you see Ed Oliver's reaction?
Yes, I saw the reaction.
What do you think he was saying?
I don't know. But what was said to him?
There's no reason to ever react like that.
Oh,
ever.
Really?
That's right.
Oh, I have a few reasons to react like that.
What are they?
Oh, if you say something inappropriate, you may get that kind of reaction.
From who?
From me.
Oh, well, then you're showing.
Showing what? You don't know what was said to him.
If you think it's the right thing to yell and scream at a coach under any circumstance, there's nothing I can do to convince you otherwise.
There's been so much tension there because the dude is not playing. This is based on Major Applewhite trying to shame his player who is sitting out the rest of the year because he's a top 10 pick.
Major Applewhite's an idiot.
He's an idiot.
I'll give
you
that.
He's a dummy. He lost a lot of cool points, period.
That does not justify you yelling and screaming
at
him.
What did he say to him? Apparently it was something that was really serious. And I think it was more than just take the jacket off.
Oh, what do you think he said?
I don't know. But from the immediate reaction, it was more than that.
They can both be at fault, by the way. You realize that, right?
Sure. But I'm just saying, I don't know what was said. But, the kid is a great kid. That kid is a great kid.
How do you know?
Oh, I know people around Houston that know that kid.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know.
I know high school coaches that know him.
I promise you it's going to be a red flag when he goes into the draft.
Oh, I can guarantee you.
He'll be asked about it endlessly.
It will not even be part of the evaluation. He shouldn't have even went to the University of Houston.
He will be asked about that incident more than anything he'll ever be asked about.
Sure,
it will be a question that every single coach will ask him about.
Any evaluation about where he's going to get drafted.
Oh my Lord, you are funny.
Oh, I'm telling you.
You are comical. Baker Mayfield planting the flag at Ohio State came into question.
Oh, dude, if you have an unbelievable ball player, and certainly he's that, and his only infraction while at the University of Houston was that sideline incident, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, but to say that it's not going to be part of the evaluation process is comical.
Not. You can throw it out the window. It's not going to be used to figure out whether or not you're going to draft that guy.
Now we'll see. You could be right.
I know I'm right.
Depends who the team is.
He's a top 10 guy.
Depends who the team is.
He did a solid to Major Applewhite and the University of Houston by even extending a chance.
Guys have fallen in the draft for way less than that.
Oh, no. Not this kind of guy.
Why'd Shane Ray fall in the draft?
Because he had an incident that happened before the draft.
Okay. Should that have fallen him, that made him fall?
Sure.
Why?
Because, you know, what he was involved with wasn't him. Shane Ray had a marijuana test that went positive.
Uh-huh. Okay. And?
But, well, you know, the guy, does he start off in the pro?
I think Why did Bradley Roby get tested,
and when you start off your NFL career in the program, it's not a good deal.
Dude is yelling at his head coach during a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come up. It's going to be talked about.
It may be talked about, but I'm telling you, it will have no impact on his draft status.
All right.
Great kid.
Okay.
That's a great kid.
Okay, I have no idea.
I mean,
I never even heard of him till 2 days ago. Like, you brought him up, and then that night, that night.
I know.
That night, he's screaming at his coach about jacket.
You know, and he hasn't played in the last four games. Maybe the last four games, he's just in protection mode. I mean, these guys have so much to lose.
Well, I agree with you on that.
Man, I mean, Major Applewright, come on, man. You could have asked him in the locker room not to put the jacket on. Have a little more class.
You're correct about that, too. But Ed Oliver could have taken the high road as well. And
please.
Not
a college kid yelling, you know what, man?
What?
Yeah.
How many coaches did you want to yell at throughout your career?
I mean, did I yell at?
How many?
At least one.
During games?
Oh, absolutely.
College?
Absolutely.
Wow.
You don't just, what do you think this is? You think this is a free reign that you just get to yell at somebody and they don't get to react?
Nah, it's all good. It's all good.
What are you supposed to do? Shut up and take it? It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that.
You know what? You're right. Football's a powder keg. The emotions get ramped up for all sorts of things, and there's reactions on the sidelines that are crazy. So you're probably right.
I'm probably right. I'm just telling.
The environment of the sport.
When a coach says that you did something wrong, and you tell him that no, I didn't, and he says yes, you did, and it starts there. It always starts there. Hey, you did this. No, I didn't. You did this. No, I didn't. And it's always the day after the film when you say, hey, you know what? I made a mistake there. Sorry about that. Like, I'm trying to tell you what happened. That didn't happen like that.
At what age do you think it's okay to scream at a coach?
When is it okay for the coach to scream at you?
You tell me.
I don't know. I don't think it's effective. My coaches didn't. I didn't get into that very often at the University of Colorado.
But basically, you're saying it's okay to scream at a coach at some point.
If he is in the wrong and he's screaming at you about something you did wrong, you have the right to defend yourself.
What point do you think that is? Anytime it happens?
Oh yeah, anytime.
10 years old?
I would say that it starts at 18.
Starts at 18. So not in high school.
What you're talking about right now is the reason why I didn't play football in high school is because the coaches were just completely disrespectful to the players.
I didn't like yelling coaches either. Still don't.
It's not the best way to teach.
All right, we are fired up. Or you're fired up.
I'm fired up.
I know. So let's get to it next.